This is Computer Talk with Tab, hosted by Eric Semmel of Tab Computer Systems. Interact with Eric and his guest by phone at 522-WTIC or 1-800-966-WTIC. Email them in the studio at gethelp@tabinc.com or get help anytime at computertalkwithtab.com. Now, here's Eric.
Morning, this is Computer Talk with Tab. I'm Eric.
And I'm Bob.
Bob is Bob Shorey, one of the MCSEs at Tab, and we've got four lines open for you. 1-800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC are the numbers. And as we wait for your call, we were just in the last caller there. Bob was checking on that issue with the links, and we found a funny post where they actually showed you how to change your browser default, right, Bob?
Well, you know, out of about seven different pages that I went to, they had, you know, maybe seven different solutions.
Right.
But the only one that really was common to each one of them was they all said fix number two or fix number three, whatever it was on that page, was change your default browser.
Away from Edge, over to Chrome or something
else. That's the easiest fix.
That is. So as we wait for your calls, we've got some news for you, but feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. I've got one I wanted to bring up, and then we can talk about yours, Bob.
Okay.
This has to do with the Clop ransomware gang. These guys leaked online what looks like to be stolen Bombardier blueprints of GlobalEye radar. So a CAD drawing. So a lot of manufacturers, especially in Connecticut, are under NIST 800-171 requirements, DFARS, ITAR requirements to protect CUI data. And this is data that is, you know, sensitive, right? You don't want to have anybody have access to this data. Of course, then the Chinese copy it, and before you know it, they're using our radar against us. But in this case, Bombardier was using a file transfer software from Excellion that was exploited earlier this year to nab documents from whose lawyers? Trump's lawyers. So somebody was using Excellion's file transfer to try to steal Trump's lawyers' documents. Well, they also stole documents from Bombardier, thanks to the folks at Excellion, whose FTP software was exploited. So you can go through all these technologies and try to protect the data, but if the tool you're using, SolarWinds, have you heard of SolarWinds? If the tool you're using is compromised that you're using to protect the business, you're not able to protect the business. Around 130 Bombardier employees in Costa Rica were impacted by the hack, with all sorts of personal information was obtained using that same FTP software that they were using. And then they showed these screenshots to folks in the biz, per se. And some of the experts they looked at the drawing thought it was, you know, no big deal. One of the experts said, "I know what that is, and I'm worried." And then it turns out it's going to be the GlobalEye bomb radar system, which I guess is something pretty high end and high tech and shouldn't be out there. So the moral of the story is, you know, do everything you can with NIST 800-171, ITARs, DFARS, all those fun things. But when the tools you use that are supposedly but safe, like SolarWinds, is hacked, there's nothing you can do.
When you buy the tools to protect yourself, and those tools have been compromised,
right?
Which is smart. Think about it.
If you're going to do it, you're going to hack the tools, right? I mean, in the case of SolarWinds, they were broadcasting all the military folks they support, all the government companies they support, all the aerospace companies they protect.
18,000.
Great way to go ahead and say, if you're a bad guy, who are we going to go after? Well, let's go after these SolarWinds guys. And they used like 1,000 people, that's assumed, to attack SolarWinds to embed the back doors that were used to get this data from these other companies too. So we got to do a better job of vetting the people we're working with. That's part of the issue here. You know, who are you going to trust? I don't know. You know, I don't know who you can trust. You can NIST it and IFARS and DFARS it to death, but if you're, you know, if it's compromised from the inside, what are you going to do?
Your biggest source of compromise of any company is your internal people.
Generally it is. So we'll put a link up to that story. You want to see who's anybody on the line there, Bob? So you want to refresh the screen?
All right.
See what's going on.
Nope. Nobody.
We're talking about our kids. So
we just had one. I just talked about
it. You did. What do you want to talk about, Bob? As we're waiting for calls, 800-966-WGIC-522.
Three good articles left here.
All right.
So let's talk about, this is a CNET/Roadshow article.
Yeah.
Cracks in Tesla's EV appeal show up in latest study.
Uh-oh.
Everybody loves a Tesla, okay? And it's really true. While it's true most electric car shoppers end up selecting a Tesla,
yeah,
the battle to win them over is wide open, according to a new study, our survey from J.D. Power.
Okay.
Good news for automakers ready to take a real stab at stealing a slice of the electric vehicle pie, which Tesla nearly has all to itself right now. A new study from J.D. Power, the inaugural electric vehicle consideration study released Thursday, shows that while most car buyers shopping for EVs do end up choosing a Tesla, they hardly go into the process completely sold on the brand. Surveying over 9,000 new car shoppers who plan to buy or lease a new vehicle in the next 12 months, 27% of them said they not only put Tesla on the consideration list, but ended up pulling the trigger on an EV from Elon Musk and company.
Mm-hmm.
These buyers cited performance as the driving decision to go with Tesla.
Mm-hmm.
Here's the part that shows a wide open field heading into the immediate future when it comes to buyers and EVs. Just 4% of the buyers said they were only considering a Tesla.
Right.
In other words, 96% of EV buyers could absolutely be swayed to another brand such as Chevrolet, Ford, Hyundai, Nissan, Volkswagen, or any other company with an EV on sale or launching soon. Talk about up for grabs.
That is.
Okay. Stuart Strop, Senior Director of Automotive Retail at J.D. Power, noted the data point likely indicates Tesla's appeal is not absolute and could be displaced by a worthy alternative.
Mm-hmm.
It's up to other automakers to educate and explain why their EV provides better value than a Tesla, however. And education will be mighty important going forward, as we've detailed in the past. Yeah, in the study, 30% of car buyers said they wouldn't even consider an electric car because they lack information or any reason to consider one. Strong education campaigns and awareness building may do wonders. Mm. Tesla doesn't advertise in mainstream channels, remember, or even operate public relations department. It's very much word of mouth.
I've never seen a Tesla commercial on the Super Bowl. Have you?
Right. And one of the reasons why people are not buying electric cars is a lot of people don't have a garage or the ability to put in a charging station in their house. So, you know, that's one factor.
Well, they can always go down to the library and plug in their car.
And then I'm going to jump down to the last paragraph. The affordability factor is one many automakers plan to address, from Chevy, Hyundai, and even Tesla itself.
Yeah.
Chevy recently revealed its latest 2022 Bolt EV with a massive price cut, and Hyundai showed off its idea of EV in the Ioniq 5. Tesla plans to make the brand even more mainstream in the near future with a $25,000 EV, likely built in China and exported around the world. The EV race is just heating up, folks.
Well, the thing too with Tesla, I mean, they lost that $7,000 credit, right? They've already used them all.
Right.
All the competitors haven't. So they can be even more competitive because they get the same $7,000 credit as Tesla got to sell the EV, unless that legislation changes. So they're going to be more competitive. And these companies have been in the car manufacturing business a whole lot longer than Tesla. Tesla is not known for its quality finish work. They have issues with gaps. They have issues with the quality of the interior. Whereas a company like Ford has been building cars for 100 plus years. They know how to build a car. So, I mean, Tesla's really cool technology, but they're definitely going to come up against some competition, and that's good.
Well, yeah, competition is always good.
Yeah. Again, you're still plugging in your electric vehicle into a fossil fuel-fueled power plant to power it, so you really haven't changed anything. But it is kind of neat, and heck, if you're in Texas, though, I think if you had to charge your car in Texas, that probably cost you an arm and a leg.
Oh man, no! It cost you. it cost you your great grandchildren's income for the rest of their life.
I was reading what they did. I mean, the Pura equivalent, Connecticut's Pura equivalent in Texas, in their infinite wisdom, as the storm hit, cranked up the kilowatt hour rate by 300 times. In order to try to stifle people turning on too much electricity to try to heat their homes, cranked it up by by 300 times, $9 a kilowatt hour from pennies, what it used to be. And then their bills come in, and of course they do an automatic withdrawal from their bank accounts. People were having $17,000 electric bills automatically withdrawn from their bank accounts because they had it set to auto pay. So, yikes.
And then another thing that happened, too, was because the solar doesn't work in snowstorm.
No,
and the winds that iced up those turbines so that they couldn't work.
Yeah.
And they have, I don't know, probably millions of wind turbines down in Texas.
Yeah,
11%. When I was driving through, I was amazed how many I was driving by. But the point is that those things went offline.
Yeah.
And they had coal-powered
plants,
electric plants that are only allowed by law to run at 60% capacity.
Mm-hmm.
And they applied for an emergency option to go back to 100% during the storm, mm-hmm. just during the storm.
Yeah.
And the federal government turned them down.
Oh, I didn't know about that. That doesn't make
sense. Oh, yeah. So they couldn't produce more electricity.
The government there is... down there in Texas needs to get their act together.
That was federal, though.
Well, federal's an issue too, but they also didn't they didn't warm the gas lines either, so the gas wasn't moving to the gas power plants because they never thought it would get cold in Texas because global warming, right?
The other thing too, a lot of these places had frozen water pipes, and I know in commercial buildings it's not really possible. But what people down there don't know is what the people up here and up in Maine, especially in Maine, know.
Yeah,
is that if it's going to be really, really cold, you turn one of your faucets on in the most remote location to a trickle.
Yeah.
So that running water will not freeze.
That's a good point.
And so they could have avoided all those frozen pipes, or at least a bunch of them.
I bet you a lot of electric cars went unused during that week. Was probably,
they were sitting in the driveway
probably
or wherever they ran out of.
ran out of juice. Uh-oh. But we don't hear that in the news too much. So we're going to take a quick break here and get to your calls. Maria, Mark, and AJ, hang on. This is Computer Talk. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. Let's get right to your calls. You're nice enough to join us this morning. You didn't want us to talk about our kids because that was next. I was going to talk about those kids in playing instruments in tents out there in Washington. I was going to go to that next. But let's go to Maria in Torrington first. What's going on, Maria?
Hi, good morning. It's still Marla in Torrington.
Marla, I'm so sorry. It's such a distance from where your the screen is and where I'm. I'm so sorry. Go ahead, Marla.
Oh, I believe you. I just kind of have a follow-up question. I spoke to you last week, I believe it was, about switching out from cable. And I did get my new modem. I just have to put it in.
Nice.
But I called about cutting the cable services. Mm-hmm. And one of the reasons I was going to stay with them was so I didn't have to change my email address just yet.
Yeah.
So I'm shopping for what would be a secure email product or place that I could sign up for a more secure one so I can make that my main mailbox.
I would check out Proton Mail.
Proton Mail.
Yeah, okay. It's a Swiss MIT company, offshore, so it's not in the United States. It's an encrypted mail service, Proton Mail. And you can even set up your own marla.com type of mailbox, which is kind of nice. They do have a free version, quote unquote. May want to consider the pay version, so at least you have a paid mailbox that's yours, and that's what I would tell you to do.
Okay, so it's protonmail.com?
Yep, Proton Mail. Yep, we'll put a link up there for you, Marla.
That would be great. I do have another question.
Yeah, sure.
When I'm trying to cut the cable, I'm looking at their ads for the new customers can buy into the internet service for $50 about. But for me, a customer times how many decades, they're kindly going to offer it to me for $113. Is there a reason why they do that?
So wait a minute. A new person can get it for $50 and you're going to be at $113?
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's what they always do, right?
Pretty much.
Yeah. So you're nothing you can do about that. You have to hope for an alternative in your area. So you can kick them to the curb completely. But since there's no competition, they know this.
This is just the same thing that drug dealers do. They offer it to you for a low, low price.
All right.
So that once that trial period ends, they can whack you.
Yeah. But 113 for how many megabits, Marla?
It's the optimum 200 plan.
So Did you look at the 100 plan to see if you can get lower?
Oh, I didn't ask them about that, but when I cut off my modem rental, I can see if I can cut it much more.
Right. You can lower your service to 100 megabits. You'll be fine.
Okay. That sounds good.
Yeah. So,
right. Thank you very much. I really appreciate your assistance with
our, all our pleasure. And next time you call, I'll get your name right.
Okay, that sounds good.
All right, Marla, good luck.
Thanks. Take care.
You too. Bye bye. Let's go on to Mark in Cromwell. What's going on, Mark?
First of all, just like to say good morning. You guys love your show.
Thank you.
When I'm using certain programs for a while there, like either using Word or Excel, or I'm in an Adobe Reader thing, my computer keeps pausing and saying not responding.
Yeah.
So I'm just curious to troubleshoot how, why, I mean, it's just delaying me, making me take twice as long to do things, you know?
Okay. Do you have Windows 10?
Yes.
Okay. If you go down into the system tray and right-click, let me do the right thing here, and choose Task Manager. Okay. And then you want to click on the part that says More Details. Okay. And then the second tab over says Performance.
Okay.
And you can look and you can see how hard your CPU is working.
Yep.
How much memory you're using in percentage.
Mm-hmm.
How much usage is on the disk. And your Wi-Fi and your graphics processing unit.
And you can look, too, by process to see which software is doing this to you.
Correct.
Okay.
But the most important thing, so you can look and see what resource is being stressed out.
Okay.
And hopefully fix that. If it's a disk issue, if you just log in, usually like the first 5-10 minutes, your antivirus might be running causing that.
Mm-hmm.
And it might go away. But if you look at your memory or your processor is being pinned, then you can look at, you know, what's causing it.
Okay.
And you may need to upgrade.
Yeah, I was wondering if it's just that if that's the issue, if the disk is dying or what, you know. The computer is probably about at least 8 years old.
Oh, boy. What do you have for a processor, do you know?
It's a, what is it, the 3?
i3?
i3, yeah.
Oh, boy, Mark. Yeah, these days an i3 is, you know, I wouldn't use that in a calculator.
Yeah.
At 8 years old, you probably have like 4 gigs of RAM.
Yep.
You have an i3, and you have a slow disk.
Yeah, so that's what it is.
So we give you permission to go to committee and replace your machine, Mark.
Okay.
But don't get an i3.
No.
Yeah, okay.
i5 minimum, 8 gigs of RAM, SSD if you can afford it.
Okay. All right, thanks very much.
All right, Mark, good luck.
Okay, bye-bye now.
All right, bye-bye. All right.
Actually, SSDs have come down so much in price that you almost can't afford not to get one.
Right. You'll see a huge, huge improvement by going to over to SSD. Let's go to AJ in South Windsor. What's going on, AJ?
Morning. I called because I was trying to get you off the hook about talking about your own kids.
Well, we appreciate it because, you know, Connecticut and our listeners don't need to hear about our kids.
Okay. I do have a couple questions. First, I like Macs, and but I know they're expensive.
Yeah.
But I was surfing around on Amazon, and they have a Mac Air refurbished for like $490 instead of like $1,100.
Mm-hmm.
So my question to you is what and they give you an enormous guarantee of a whole 3 months.
Yeah, yeah.
So
90
my
days.
Question to you, is what's your opinion of refurbished factory refurbished computers?
Which factory? you don't even know if the factory they're refurbishing is a Apple factory or some third party who said his company's name is factory.
Well, I don't know, but I can go on the Apple site directly.
There you go.
And get refurbished ones.
That'd be smarter.
Yeah, of course.
I would tell you to go right to Apple if you're going to do this. I'm not a fan of refurbished anything. Any kind of technology, computer equipment especially.
With a 90-day warranty, I just would walk away. I'm sorry, but...
Yeah, and computer technology that's been around the block for a few years, I assume this version of Mac is pretty old. So it's been heavily used. Its technology probably is... Mac always makes their stuff a little underpowered so that you upgrade. Now, you know... MacBook Airs and stuff are different. But I would tell you not to consider it unless you really want to just take a flyer on it. It's still going to be a quality device if it's refurbished by Apple. But I don't think you're going to... I wouldn't do it. It's just me. But
well, I was leaning not to, but so I think you convinced me. And I got another quick question.
Yeah.
If I put in the IP addresses for OpenDS, do I delete the other IP addresses?
Yes. So you're only the DNS addresses. So if you replace the DNS addresses you have with OpenDNS's DNS addresses, and then you'll be good.
Okay, just wanted to confirm that. All right, thanks.
Thank you, AJ.
When I hear in the future programs, if I hear you guys are floundering around, I'll try to bail you out again.
Thanks, AJ. We appreciate it.
All right. Thanks.
Yeah, you're welcome. Sometimes the show, we get callers like crazy. The lines are jammed up. Sometimes they're not. You just never know. We always assume all the computer problems are solved, so that's good news. If we can come across a week, this is my 26th year doing this. You've done this for many years too, Bob. We haven't found a solution to the computer problems where they're all gone.
I guess we've done our job.
We solved them all. Feel free to get online. We're going to be here till 11 o'clock, and then Dr. Alessi will be in, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. We'll be right back. And we are back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here for another half an hour. Feel free to get online, and Dr. Alessi will be in. We have two lines open for you, 800-966-WTIC and 522-WTIC. The 800 number is nationwide, so we love getting calls from all over the country. Of those of you guys listening down there in North Carolina, South Carolina, we've gotten calls. We've gotten calls from Washington. We've gotten calls from everywhere. Florida. Feel free to get online, 800-966-WTIC. But let's go local. We're going to go to Shay in North Windham first. What's going on, Shay? Shay, you there?
Hi. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can. What's up?
I'm calling about my kids.
You're calling about your kids? It's a thing. What are your kids doing to you, Shay?
No, not only kidding. I want to cut the cord, but we DVR everything.
Yeah, the beauty of cutting the cord these days is if you go to YouTube TV, it's all DVR built into the actual app. You can have the whole thing DVR'd. It's unlimited DVRing. YouTube TV will, you pick the channel, you pick the show, you pick anything, it'll DVR it for you.
But you can't have but what if you want to watch something other than what's on YouTube? Does YouTube have everything?
YouTube has 70 channels, almost everything. Can't imagine it's got a channel you don't want. But they have
like the local news, like NBC Nightly News.
Yep, they have all that. You can DVR it. You don't need a piece of hardware to do it. You just have it done for you through their app.
So it's not on demand per se.
No, it is on demand. So if you think about it, it makes everything on demand for you. So you could say you want to watch a specific show at 5 o'clock and tell YouTube TV to record it for you. In the DVR, it's complete. You can have your entire life on demand if you really want to.
I know, but usually isn't where I don't use on demand very often. But isn't it always a delay? Like if I want to watch something on demand that was on, you know, at 8 o'clock.
Yeah.
Tonight I can't watch it at 9 o'clock. Can I?
Yeah.
I could just get home. You can.
That's why it's called on demand. I demand it. You're going to get it.
Yeah. On demand, Shay. You can do it. You could, if you get home at 8:15, you could go and go look at the show. It's being recorded as you're watching it at 8. So it's instantly on demand. It's the most on demand approach these days. All the 12 o'clock flashers we used to have in the old days of trying to record shows on VHS tape are all gone. You now can never miss anything.
You should explain what a 12 o'clock flasher is, because I am sure that most of the young people today don't know what that is.
Oh, that's true.
I'm not young. I'm older than you guys.
Okay. Well, a 12 o'clock flasher is basically when your VHS time always just blinked 12 o'clock because nobody would set the time.
Right. Okay.
And so if you try to set your recording, you know, to try to be at 8 o'clock and catch the Seinfeld episode, you know, you couldn't do it because nobody could figure out how to set the time. So YouTube is the key for you. Take a look at it, and the DVRing is insane.
Okay, so if I want Discovery Plus, it will, anything that's on Discovery Plus, I won't be able to record.
So the beauty, I think, of those services, Shay, are that the episodes are already there for you. Don't hold me to it because I don't have Discovery Plus.
I don't either, but I don't want to pay for it because it's always been free.
Yeah, yeah. Well, free is a strong word.
Yeah.
You're paying for it with your cable bundle. So,
you're right.
Yeah, but you could. Most of these services are going to offer you the episodes as part of the service versus live TV or the live shows. So you want to DVR live TV. That's where the DVR would come in with YouTube TV. I think with all the other services, to a fault, every show is already there for you. So you don't have to worry about recording it. It's just part of their package, part of how they deliver the content to you.
Okay. That helps a lot because that was our major concern because we don't. Well, what about commercials?
Well, you can pass that right through them. You can go right through them.
You can. Okay, cool.
You have all the power in your little remote control.
Okay. Good. Thank you very much.
You're welcome, Shay.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Thank you.
Yep, but it is an issue. People are not really understanding how streaming works, and I don't blame you. It can be a little daunting. The cable companies are not going to help you, and they gave you this DVR box and all this unlimited this or unlimited that, and you're paying an arm and a leg for your cable service. Well, these streaming systems are all designed for this. YouTube TV is going to be able to – you could choose any channel you want, set the recording. You know, you can make sure you don't miss a baseball game ever again. You can just – it's right there in the menu. Click you want it recorded, and you're never going to miss it. The amount of content that's available right now is staggering. It's insanity. Like I think I told you about last week, my wife and I spend more time trying to figure out what we're going to watch.
Same here.
Yeah.
I spend more time figuring out what to watch than I do actually watching.
Yeah. It's almost like we need to find a good place that we can go and find out some reviewer we trust that says, Eric, here's what you should watch. Just tell me. Tell me what I want to watch. Please. I don't have time to figure it out.
Just subscribe to social media. They'll tell you.
Well, that is true. Let's go to Ted in Barkhamsted next. What's going on, Ted? Ted, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
What's up?
You get questions all the time about how much speed one should have for their internet, 100, 200, 30, 50. What is the cost associated with the difference in speed? What is the cost to the provider, not to us poor guys who have to keep paying the increases every time they choose to do it?
Well, if we knew that, I mean, that would be great.
Is it like electricity that some place is generating electricity and selling it to others and the price changes? Or like gasoline? What is internet exactly?
That's a great question. So you have infrastructure. That's internet, right? The bandwidth and the cables and the fiber that get you from point A to point B. There are switching
tech. That went in 15 years ago.
It did, but it's not as up to date as it should be. But let's assume, you're going to use cable for your example. The 15-year-old cable still works. So going backwards, they've had to put in intermediary switches within these networks. So they're building, if you look at telephone poles these days, they have these big boxes attached to them now with power protection and they're actually having switching technology built into those things attached to those telephone poles, and those all have to be maintained by geeks like us. They're different kind of geeks, but they're geeks like us, and they're going to deal with managing the switching, and then all that goes back to another central location with massive technology and switching. You need switches that have huge capabilities to be able to send a packet of information to Ted and a packet of information to Bob, right? It's not like electricity, where we do still kind of, even electricity is still kind of a mystery to most of us as to how it works, but the packet has to be directed and it has to be smart. So through the whole system, it has to be smart and prioritized. So the cost of the bandwidth to you is based on all that infrastructure and all those people and all that technology. It's maintaining that infrastructure. So it's really the actual packet itself has mass, but the issue is just how big of a bandwidth you can build to send that packet down the network efficiently is where all the cost is. If we all knew how much it cost them, it'd be nice. I mean, they're a publicly traded company. You can kind of get an idea what the cost is, but it's hard.
Well, they can afford to put their names on several stadiums around the country. I mean, that costs them money. And then the money they put into advertising, that costs a lot of money.
That's
true. You know.
And then the 150 solicitations that come in every year.
Yeah. Yeah, and all the politicians they got to pay for to keep all the competition out.
So realistically, what's the possible opportunity for more competition?
Great question, right? So here in Connecticut, our governor has said he wants to have an initiative to expand broadband in Connecticut. He wants to know how to do this. But, of course, he's only asking the incumbents.
he should ask Josh Gabel.
I don't know. Yeah, Josh might know. There's so many things. I mean, we talked about the 1942 law in Mississippi that they said electric companies couldn't sell anything but electricity. Bob's point, why would they put a law like that in there? Well, of course, they didn't want phone providers to have any competition from the electric providers. 1942. Right. Yeah. I'm sure we got laws like that here in Connecticut. I wish I knew what they were. Good luck. I've been asking all sorts of people.
My bill went up $5 a month arbitrarily. Mm-hmm. I didn't get any notice. All of a sudden, if I hadn't looked at the online my account,
right,
I wouldn't have known.
Yeah, and then they automatically would deduct it from your bank account.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, isn't that nice? Hey, I'm going to charge Ted more. yeah, I know. It's crazy.
Well, then they want to charge you a convenience fee for taking it directly out of your checking account instead of by the mail.
So we need alternatives, Ted. So, I would tell you to reach out to your legislators and ask them, what kind of 1942 laws have they put in place to keep incumbents off our polls? We need poll neutrality.
Yeah. Well, we got streaming, and that seemed to break the back of the cable companies. But now the streaming costs are just going up so that it'll be equivalent in another year.
Exactly. We have to get to a point where we're all charged by the megabit, which is right. Going to happen. Just like your water, just like your electricity,
right.
We have to be charged by the megabit so that you pay for what you pay for, I pay for what I pay for. And the way it is now is most of us are subsidizing the heavy users.
Yep.
We get data caps on our stuff at Cox, but businesses don't have data caps. Wonder why. I know they're paying more, but you'd think those data caps should be going after the businesses because they're the ones chewing up all the bandwidth, right? They're the ones using it all. The rest of us are watching, TV or something or playing video games.
Right.
So we'll see what happens, Jack, but hopefully we get some competition.
Thank you so much.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right. Bye. So we're going to step out for a quick break. It puts back to more of your calls. Feel free to get online. We're here till 11 o'clock, 800-966-WTIC, 522-WTIC. We got three lines open. Feel free to get on. We'll be right back. And we're back. This is Computer Talk. We're going to be here till 11, and Dr. Alessi will be in with Healthy Rounds, giving you a second opinion on your health advice. Let's get to your calls. Antoinette was on the line the longest. Hey, Antoinette, what's up?
I wanted to call to give the caller several callers ago regarding her Optimum Internet service.
Uh-huh.
I got my service reduced yesterday. She needs to call and make a case.
All right.
Push that, do whatever you can, but I got mine down reduced to under $60.
Congratulations. What was the magic word?
Well, I'm a senior.
Okay.
And I can't pay that amount.
Oh, there you go.
I'm on a fixed income.
That's fair enough.
I'm a long-time customer, and they kept sending me through this person and that person, but the last person that can help you, maybe this will be faster. She needs to ask them to get her to the retention department.
Gotcha. Antoinette, thank you for that information. Congratulations on getting that reduced. How long do you think it'll last?
A year.
Okay. All right.
A year.
Hey, a year is better than nothing.
Maybe they'll have GoNet speed by that time.
Yeah, you have to do it each year and stuff. And can I ask you guys a question? Because I remember when we were paying per minute for cell phone use.
Right.
And the reason why we got unlimited calls and texts is because people were all going over to Europe and Africa and were paying nothing. And so the U.S. had to give us the same thing.
Well,
couldn't they do that with the Internet?
I don't think so. I think the reason unlimited calls and texts are quote-unquote unlimited is because nobody talks to anybody on the phone anymore. So you're not really using the cell towers for speaking, and texting is really doesn't require a lot of bandwidth. So giving you something very easy like that is kind of a no-brainer. And the word unlimited allows them to charge you a whole lot more than you need to pay for your cell service. Like I think I've said many times on the show, my Google Fi monthly service on my cell phone is averages about $22 a month. It's not unlimited. It only bills me what I use. So I use, as a geek, $22 a month worth of cell service. Most unlimited plans are in that 45 range. They're in the much more expensive ranges because they know you're not going to use it. So it has nothing to do with anything else, I don't think.
Okay. All right. All right. Okay. Thank you. Bye-bye.
Thank you for checking in. Anything unlimited, like the whole thing at the buffet, right? They're just hoping you're not going to eat all the crab legs. You know, come on in, unlimited.
Well, when they used to have buffets,
yeah. Well, that's true.
All the crab legs were always gone when I got there.
There's a great sushi place that we go to, and they have an unlimited sushi offering. But the key is, if you buy more sushi than you can eat, they're going to make you pay for the extra sushi that you're bringing home. I think that's fair. So it's unlimited to a point. Let's go to Jack in Middletown. What's going on, Jack?
Morning, guys.
Morning.
I cut the cable a long time ago, and I just have the internet, you know,
yeah,
with Comcast. And DVR recording, it's a little confusing to me. I just have the smart TV and an antenna.
Mm-hmm.
Keep my cost way down. Now, I do have, like, Hulu and Netflix. But if I... There's no way for me to record a Hulu movie or a Netflix movie, as far as I know.
Well, it's an oxymoron to record a Netflix movie because it's always there. So you don't need to record it because you can play it anytime. So it's already
That's
on
true.
Demand. Same thing with a lot of the Hulu. So with YouTube TV...
Yeah, I don't want another subscription.
I don't blame you. But they built in the DVR concept. So Hulu, I don't know. I could go double check because I think my son has Hulu. I could see if they offer a DVR concept, but it's only for the live TV you get to capture if you want to try to capture something. And I would bet you Hulu has some DVR functioning built in. All these providers are offering it, but I could be wrong.
Possibly, but here's my real question.
Yeah.
How do I record over the air? My antenna, if I'm watching something live, like, for instance, the old days, I just turn the VCR on and record it.
Right.
Is that even possible?
They make applications for that. I was looking into that a number of years ago, but I ended up not going with it. I don't watch that much TV.
Yeah, don't care as much. So, yeah, the key would be for the DVR to be able to be in between your app somehow. You must have a way to output from your TV to an input of your DVR and then schedule it to actually capture it on a different HDMI channel. It's probably convoluted. I bet they do exist, though. There's probably devices that help you interface that.
Yeah, it's very confusing.
I bet you it is. And these days, these companies are offering it built in, Jack, I would do a little more research on whether Hulu, because it offers live TV. I think Hulu gives you live TV, right?
I don't have that package.
Oh, I gotcha. Well, and you might be stuck trying to do the convoluted approach, unfortunately, taking that over-the-air antenna into your TV, into your DVR, I should say, and set the recording, and then you need to then choose the DVR as the playback device.
Right.
So when you're getting it for free, typically there's a little work you got to do to get there.
Yeah.
That makes sense, yep. All right. That's what I figured.
All right, Jack.
All right, thank you.
You're welcome.
Bye.
Bye-bye. Yeah, it's kind of hard to kind of bridge both sides of it, the apps from everything else. And there's so much involved now, so much convoluted technology involved just to get TV.
I mean, tell me about it.
And, I was talking to somebody who was having an issue with her TV and the quality of the display. And she's like, Eric, this is awful. Sometimes it's perfect. Sometimes it's all pixely and jumbly, and they couldn't figure out what the issue was. Is it the streaming device? Is it their internet? Of course, they're going to focus on bandwidth and router for the pixely TV. And it turned out it was a TV. So you have so many different aspects of getting TV these days and how that video is processed. You need a good quality processor on your TV to actually crunch all that data, because before it was just displaying a picture on a tube, which was pretty cool back then. I mean, hey, I grew up with that. But now you got to actually take a video processor processing packets of data at high resolution quickly enough
every
so it doesn't
pixel
look pixely.
On that TV has to be programmed.
Yeah, this is a pretty complicated process. And there's a lot of areas in there. Of course, the moment you call your internet provider, they're going to say, well, we need more bandwidth. That's the problem. Oh, really? I'll tell you, you don't need more bandwidth. 25 megabits, according to Bobby C, works fine with two people. So keep that in mind. I want to thank all you guys for joining us on this Saturday morning. Thank you, Mike G, for posting everything over at ComputerTalkWithTab.com. It's the website for the show. The name of the show.com also works. If you go to Facebook and like us on Facebook over at Tab Computer Systems, and Mark Zuckerberg deems the news worthy, it may get into your news feed. Thank you, Matt, for producing back there in Farmington. Someday, we'll get to see you in person. I'm looking forward to it.
See you next week.